Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. Today is Thursday. It's October the 12th, day 285 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name is Hunter, and we are about to do what we do every day. We're about to take some time in God's Word. We're about to let God's Word take some time on us. I know how we need that, no doubt about that. No other agenda here this morning other than that, than to hear from Him. To have our lives oriented and directed and encouraged and strengthened by Him. And He offers us that each day. What a gift. And so we come to hear His word, and that word today is in the book of Nehemiah, chapters 7 and 8. And then we start a new book, quite a journey, really. It's going to be in the book of Acts. This is Luke's compendium to his gospel. And I can't wait. So let's stop waiting. Let's jump right in. Nehemiah chapter 7. We are reading through the New Living Translation. After the wall was finished, and I had set up the doors in the gates, the gatekeepers, singers, and Levites were appointed. I gave the responsibility of governing Jerusalem to my brother Hanani, along with Hananiah, the commander of the fortress, for he was a faithful man who feared God more than most. I said to them, "Do not leave the gates open during the hottest part of the day, and even while the gatekeepers are on duty, have them shut and bar the doors. Appoint the residents of Jerusalem to act as guards, everyone on a regular watch. Some will serve as sentry posts, and some in front of their own homes." At that time the city was large and spacious, but the population was small, and none of the houses had been rebuilt. So my God gave me the idea to call together all the nobles and leaders of the city, along with all the ordinary citizens, for registration. I had found the genealogical record of those who had first returned to Judah. This is what was written there. Here is the list of the Jewish exiles of the provinces who returned from their captivity. King Nebuchadnezzar had deported them to Babylon, but now they returned to Jerusalem and the other towns in Judah where they originally lived. Their leaders were Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Sariah, Realiah, Nahamani, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispar, Bigvai, Rehum, and Bana. This is the number of the men of Israel who returned from exile. From the family of Parosh, 2,172. The family of Shaphtiah, 372. The family of Arah, 652. The family of Pahathmoab, descendants of Jeshua and Joab, 2,818. The family of Elam, 1,254. The family of Zattu, 845. The family of Zakiah, 760. The family of Bani, 648. The family of Babiah, 628. The family of Azgad, 2,322. The family of Adonikim, 667. The family of Bigviah, 2,067. The family of Adin, 655. The family of Atar, descendants of Hezekiah, 98. The family of Hashum, 328. The family of Beziah, 324. The family of Jorah, 112. The family of Gibar, 95. The people of Bethlehem and Netophah, 188. The people of Anathoth, 128. The people of Beth Azmaveth, 42. The people of Kiriath Jarim, Kephahir, and Beroth, 743. The people of Ramah and Geba, 621. The people of Michmash, 122. The people of Bethel and Ai, 123. The people of West Nebo, 52. The citizens of West Elam, 1,254. The citizens of Harim, 320. The citizens of Jericho, 345. The citizens of Lod, Hadid, and Ono, 721. The citizens of Sena, 3,930. These are the priests who returned from exile. The family of Jediah, through the line of Jeshua, 973. The family of Emer, 1,052. The family of Pashur, 1,247. The family of Harim, 1,017. These are the Levites who returned from exile. The families of Jeshua, Kadmiel, descendants of Hodaviah, 74. The singers of the family of Asaph, 148. The gatekeepers of the families of Shulam, Atur, Talmon, Akub, Hatita, and Shobiah, 138. The descendants of the following temple servants returned from exile: Ziha, Hasufa, Taboath, Keros, Siaha, Padon, Lebna, Hagaba, Shelemai, Hanan, Gidel, Gehar, Riah, Razin, Nekoda, Gazam, Usa, Pasea, Pasaya, Miunim, Nefusim, Bekuk, Hakufa, Herhar, Buzlath, Mahida, Harsha, Barkos, Sisera, Tama, Naziah, and Hatifa. The descendants of these servants of King Solomon returned from exile: Hotiah, Hosephareth, Paruda, Jala, Darkan, Gidel, Shephatiah, Hittil, Pokareth, Hasbaim, and Ami. In all, the temple servants and the descendants of Solomon's servants numbered 392. Another group returned at this time from the towns of Tel Malal, Tel Harsha, Kerub Adan, and Emer. However, they could not prove that they or their families were descendants of Israel. This group included the families of Deliah, Tobiah, and Nokada, a total of 642 people. Three families of priests, Hobiah, Hakoz, and Barzillai, also returned. This Barzillai had married a woman who was a descendant of Barzillai of Gilead and who had taken her family name. They searched for their names in the genealogical records, but they were not found, so they were disqualified from serving as priests. The governor told them not to eat the priest's share of food from the sacrifices until the priest could consult the Lord about the matter by using the Urim and Thummim, the sacred lots. So a total of 42,360 people returned to Jerusalem, in addition to 7,337 servants and 245 singers, both men and women. They took with them 736 horses, 245 mules, 435 camels, and 6,720 donkeys. Some of the family leaders gave gifts for the work. The governors gave to the treasury 1,000 gold coins, 50 gold basins, 530 robes for the priests. The other leaders gave to the treasury a total of 20,000 gold coins and some 275 pounds of silver for the work. The rest of the people gave 20,000 gold coins, about 2,500 pounds of silver, and 67 robes for the priest. So the priests, the Levites, and the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and some of the common people settled near Jerusalem. The rest of the people returned to their own towns throughout Israel. In October, when the Israelites had settled in their towns, Nehemiah chapter 8, all the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square just inside the water gate. They asked Ezra and the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. So on October the 8th, Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men, the women, and all the children old enough to understand. He faced the square just inside the water gate from early morning until noon and read aloud to everyone who could understand. All the people listened closely to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. To his right stood Mattaniah, Shema, Aniah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah. To his left stood Padiah, Mishael, Milkijah, and Hashum, Hashbanana, Zechariah, and Meshullam. Ezra stood on the platform in full view of all the people. When they saw him open the book, they all rose to their feet. Then Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people chanted, Amen, Amen, as they lifted their hands. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatiah, Hodiah, Messiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Peliah, then instructed the people in the law while everyone remained in their places. They read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people to understand each passage. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, the Levites, who were interpreting for the people, said to them, Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah continued, Go and celebrate with a feast of rich food and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Levites too quieted the people, telling them, "Hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day." So the people went away to eat and drink at a festive meal, to share gifts of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they had heard God's words and understood them. On October the 9th, the family leaders of all the people, together with the priests and Levites, met with Ezra the scribe to go over the law in great detail. As they studied the law, they discovered that the Lord had commanded through Moses that the Israelites should live in shelters during the festival to be held that month. He said to them that a proclamation should be made throughout their towns and in Jerusalem, telling the people to go to the hills to get branches from olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees. They were to use these branches to make shelters in which they would live during the festival as prescribed in the law. So the people went out and cut branches and used them to build shelters on the roofs of their houses, in their courtyards, in the courtyards of God's temple, or in the squares just inside the water gate and the Ephraim gate. So everyone who had returned from captivity lived in these shelters during the festival, and they were all filled with great joy. The Israelites had not celebrated like this since the days of Joshua, son of Nun. Ezra read from the book of the law of God on each of the 7 days of the festival. Then on the 8th day, they held a solemn assembly as was required by law. Acts chapter 1. The promise of the Holy Spirit. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once, while he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. They are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of 30 miles. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of a house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. During this time, when about 120 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them. "Brothers," he said, "the scriptures had to be fulfilled concerning Judas, who guided those who arrested Jesus. This was predicted long ago by the Holy Spirit speaking through King David. Judas was one of us and shared in the ministry with us." Judas had bought a field with the money he received from his treachery. Falling headfirst there, his body split open, spilling out all his intestines. The news of his death spread to all the people of Jerusalem, and they gave the place the Aramaic name Akeldama, which means field of blood. Peter continued, "This was written in the book of Psalms, where it says, 'Let his home become desolate with no one living in it.' It also says, 'Let someone else take his position.' So now we must choose a replacement for Judas from among the men who were with us the entire time we were traveling with the Lord Jesus, from the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken from us. Whoever is chosen will join us as witnesses of Jesus' resurrection." So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. And they all prayed, O Lord, you know every heart. Show us which of these men you have chosen as an apostle to replace Judas in this ministry, for he has deserted us and gone where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and Matthias was selected to become an apostle with the other 11. Now may God give his blessing to the reading of his word. Lost and found. Over the years that I've pastored, I've had many people come and ask me after church, Pastor, does the church have a lost and found? I've lost my Bible, and I'm wondering whether it's in the lost and found. Well, Nehemiah is describing for us one of the most egregious occasions where someone has lost the Bible that there ever was. The Jews were in exile for 70 years, and during that time, the public reading of the Bible had been lost to them. It was this Bible that told the people who they were. It described to them their unique identity as those who were chosen by God. It was their story of their place in God's life. It was a story of God's love and faithfulness towards them. It would almost be like one of those horrific stories that we hear of a child who's been kidnapped for years and years. And then when they are finally found, they're given a letter from their parents, the parents that have been looking for them. It's a love letter. It's a letter of how the parents have longed for them, how they have never stopped seeking their lost and stolen child, how the parents did all they could, night and day, never stopping, always looking for their lost and loved child. That's why the people are weeping, because they are reading this love letter. They're seeing that God is their loving parent who has always been seeking to find his lost child. So the people weep because they've never heard these words before. They never knew that they were so loved. They also weep because now they know who they are. When you've been kidnapped, it's easy to forget who you are. But now they're hearing for the first time that they're loved, they're God's beloved, they're God's chosen. God's been working, God's been longing, God's never ceasing in his pursuit of their hearts. They were lost, but now they are found. So Nehemiah says, don't weep, not today, no, not this day. This is a day when we celebrate, this is a day when we party, because that which was lost has now been found. That which was dead has now come back to life. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? That sounds like the gospel. That sounds like the story of God's redemptive love, the God who searches and finds. Whether it is a wayward son or a wayward people, he will find us. And there may be a time of weeping, but there will also be a time to party. Hallelujah. The prayer of my own heart today, the prayer for my soul, is that I will look into the Word and realize who I am. And realize that God has longed for and sought for me with all his heart. That he has made me his own. That each day will be a celebration of the God who finds. And that'll be my joy. That's what Nehemiah says here. He says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's the prayer that I have for my own soul today. That's a prayer I have for my family, for my wife, my daughters, my son. And that's the prayer I have for you. May it be so. Well, it's always great to hear from you. It truly is. Great to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. So the next time you got a moment, take it and let a brother know. Speaking of letting some folks know, hey, I just want to send a big shout out to Liz and Lee Fredericks. You guys have been pioneers with this work. You've been with me almost from day one, I believe. Incredible, over 4 years now. And it's been a pleasure to be on this journey with you here in Cincinnati. And even as our family is looking to move once again to New Jersey, I'll know that you'll be with us. And just want to send my love, guys. Thanks so much. For all of you out there, I can't believe God gives us this time together. What an honor and privilege it is to share the road together, to share His Word. Well, hey, my friends, would you share the Word? Would you share the app? We've made that so simple. All you have to do is click on the link there that says share the app, and off you go. Another thing I'd love for you to do is to sign up for our email newsletter. We send these out about once a month. This last month's probably not gonna happen here in November, just with so many changes going on. We've got so many things we're trying to do. But in the months to come, you will receive an email newsletter that'll keep you in the know. Would love to have you get that. Well, hey, my friends, we've done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible. And I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward. Let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let God's joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care. Bye-bye.